didn't want to come. Hey, let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens and your lesson plan. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. And as you do that, my name is Miles. I'm the pastor of The Rock. We appreciate you coming here this morning. And also, let me just address the charger issue. We know many of you are heart sick this morning. It was my wife, my family, and I went to the game last night. We had our garbage bags, and it was so much fun. We had 9 layers of clothes. And I want to ask you, and I only spent 30 seconds on this, to pray for the kicker, because he is a really, really, really sweet kid. He's 22 years old. He's the most humble guy in the world. He just missed the kick. Simple. Life happens, and it's as simple as that, and that's the end of it. And you need to pray for him. He is really a great guy. And, you know, I think sometimes when we don't get what we want, we have to be reminded that we're not entitled to anything. And 3 months ago, we would have never believed and dreamt about being in the playoffs. And so we need to thank God for what we did have instead of blaming him for what we don't have. So, and the other thing is that Tuesday morning, if you're up, Tuesday morning at 7 a.m., I'm going to be on Fox News discussing God and the tsunami and how to reconcile those things and why did women and children die, et cetera, and did God do this, all that kind of stuff. And if you don't want to get up, it's an opportunity for you to tell your non-Christian friends to watch, okay? Because they watch the news, they may be up. So 7 o'clock Tuesday on Fox television. If you look in your lesson plan, I want to read something to you. Very first paragraph at the top. It says, "The Lord of the Things is a series on personal stewardship, a guide to biblical management of the resources with which God has blessed you. Arguably, our most important resource is our body. You cannot serve God if you are dead." Amen? Today, we are starting a 3-week fast process. If you are a visitor, we're going to be talking about fasting. And so we hope that you allow yourself to get caught up to the process, and hopefully you take the challenge. Some of you may have come in here saying, "I'm not going to fast," and you've been hearing about it for the last month and a half or whatever. Wait till the whole process, what we talk about today, is over. Let me challenge you to prepare your heart to fast something. I'm going to talk about a juice fast, fruits and vegetables for 3 weeks, et cetera, in some form of fashion. You'll know what I'm talking about in a minute. But you may not want to go the whole nine. You may say, "Listen, I just want to do TV, coffee, you know, I want to fast." Don't fast work. You know, don't fast being a nice person. You know, it's about food. So, but, you know, you may just do sweets, whatever it is. But let me encourage you to do something. I guarantee you will benefit by doing something. Don't do nothing, okay? Let me just encourage you. We have a book in the back called Toxic Relief. That is a very good book on fasting. You can get that. And we also have a tape called Our Sipper. It's a sermon I did on prayer, because this is going to be something critical to your fasting that you pray. So those two are in the back, amongst other things. Let's look at our lesson plan. We'll get to Matthew in a few minutes. What is fasting? Fasting is an act of self-denial for a period of time and for a specific purpose. It is an act of self-denial. Now, mostly in the Bible, fasting is related to food, but people also fasted from washing. They fasted from shaving. And even in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, they fasted from sex, a husband and wife, for a period of time so they can give themselves to prayer and fasting. Now, let me explain that very quickly, because it's a very critical issue. If someone says, "Well, we're going to fast for sex," you have to understand, in the original language — I'm only joking on this — but in the original language, it meant minutes. It wasn't days or weeks or nothing like that. It was a very, very brief fast from each other. Anyway. But you can fast from those things, and the purpose is to get closer to God. Look in your notes. Why fast? To secure a supernatural resources. To secure access to supernatural resources. I'm sorry, turn to Mark chapter 9 real quick. Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and when he comes down, he finds his disciples arguing with a crowd of people, scribes, and a dad who had a son whose son was demon-possessed. And this demon-possessed boy could not be exorcised by his disciples. So Jesus asked the father how long it's been happening to him. He says ever since he was a child, he was foaming at the mouth. You know, the demon throws him in the fire and the water. And Jesus, whenever Jesus asks a question in the Bible, you have to understand he's not asking the question because he doesn't know the answer. He's asking the question so you and I can know the answer. Okay? So he's asking the question so we can all know that this boy has been demon-possessed since he was a boy. And Jesus speaks 17 words in English, translated from the original language. He speaks 17 words and the demon goes out of the boy and he's healed. Jesus' disciples bring him in the room and they don't know how he did it because they couldn't. They were praying, speaking in tongues, throwing oil, holy water on him, jumping up and down on incense. They couldn't get the demon to come out. And look what it says in verse 29 of chapter 9. Jesus says, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. There are certain things in your life that will never happen unless you pray and fast. And so when you fast, the purpose of your fasting is you are separating from yourself from the world. You're separating yourself from dependence on the physical world so you can go and be with God without distraction. Now, does food distract you? Yes, we're going to see in a few minutes. You are separating yourself from not only the act of eating, you're not only separating yourself from the effects of your eating, but also the distractions of the eating process. In other words, instead of going to a restaurant, go to a closet and pray with God. Instead of hanging out at Starbucks, go to a closet and pray with God. Okay? So the whole purpose is to get closer to God. Let me read a few instances. These are all on our website if you want to get these biblical addresses for all these different incidences for prayer, for why people fasted. In Judges 20, they fasted in times of war. Jonah 3, they fasted in times of repentance. Ezra 8, they fasted when they were in danger. Esther 4:3, they fasted for courage and wisdom. 1 Samuel 31, in times of grief, in times of distress. 2 Samuel 1:12, Jesus fasted when he was tempted by the devil. Spiritual power, we just read, Mark chapter 9. They fasted for wisdom in Acts 14. They fasted for holiness, 1 Corinthians 7:5, for the husband and wife. They fasted for answered prayer, Acts chapter 10. When they mourned, they fasted in Daniel 10. In Exodus 34, Moses fasted 40 days for special revelation from God. In 1 Kings, Elijah fasted for 40 days when he was spiritually recuperating from running from Jezebel. So people fasted for all these different reasons. And it's all in on the website if you want to get those addresses and read them up. Next question, why food? And by the way, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put the big fat egghead back together again. Humpty did not need the king's horses and the king's men. Humpty needed the king. And so often we are looking to people for our answers and for our encouragement. And many of you come to church for an encouragement, but don't come for an encouragement from me. Come from God. And when you get up every day, when you read your Bible every day, and you walk around every day, you need to know that God has given you an opportunity to have access to him. And when you fast, it kind of opens your eyes up to what that's all about and how that works and go, oh, I get this. God has given me the opportunity to have a powerful relationship with him directly. And when you have a powerful relationship with him directly, you will stop going to those other ways of getting to God as much. Not saying you don't go to church. I'm not saying you don't listen to tapes. I'm saying you don't read books. But always know that all that is to so you can get to God and not look to people. Because sometimes we look to people too much. Hopefully you know what I'm saying. Why food? I was at a conference once and this guy says, what does food have to do with spirituality? Stop eating and you will find out. I asked last week how many people exercise or don't exercise on a regular basis, and some of y'all don't. I can't encourage you enough to exercise on a regular basis. It will change your life. Even if you just stretch. You know, my grandmother, she's 90 years old, and she stretches. She's getting where she can't really do it that much. But, you know, there was a conference at Harvard University. You can't say Harvard, you gotta say Harvard. And it was a conference on wellness. It was a secular conference on wellness for these wellness centers, and they came up with this, a definition of wellness. And wellness is the ability, the degree of wellness in your body is the ability of your body to deliver blood to all its parts. Bible says life is in the blood. Now to figure out. So the reason you exercise, the reason you stretch, is to, and the reason you eat right, the reason you chew your food until it's a liquid, is to increase the efficiency with which blood is transported to all your body. That's the definition of health. It's all in the Bible. And so all this has to do with you being a vessel for God. Your body's a temple of God. The Holy Spirit's in you. You got it from God. Honor your God. Honor your body honor God with your body. This is all part of God's temple. Okay? So why food? Food is the one thing that, a question you have to ask, what gives you, in quotes, attitude if it's withheld from you? Food. Think about it. You get up. What do? Eat. Then you brush your teeth, and then you think about eating again. Then you have lunch, and you eat again. Then you take from lunch back to your desk a little snack so you can eat again. Then you get home, and you eat again. And then after dinner, you have dessert, eat again. And then when you go to bed, before you go to bed, you start preparing what you're going to eat the next day. We eat. Stop eating. Watch what happens to your relationship with God. Even if you don't believe what I just said, if you do this, you will notice your relationship with God and your closeness with God will do this. And I'll tell you this also in 3 weeks when we end our fast, is that when you end your fast, you will feel your intimacy with God broken. You will. And you'll be like, man, how do I get back to that closeness with God and still eat? That's the trick. We'll talk about that later, because you can live in this type of state. Okay? The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Not seek ye first Twinkies, seek ye first lunch, seek ye first dinner. And you will realize how much you are attached to food, or how much you worship dinner time, lunch time, breakfast time, snack time, when you decide that you're not supposed to do it, or when you decide to give it up. And you realize, man, this stuff is really more important to me. And by the way, maybe I'll miss prayer, but I ain't gonna miss dinner. I have 3 children. We have nicknames for everyone in our family. And some of us have more than one nickname. One of my nicknames is the Beast. Because my daughter says I eat everything and I'm loud and I'm, you know, oh, is this so? You know, the Beast is home. Then I have a daughter, she's drama queen, and then we have Grumple Stiltskin. Because one of my daughters, until she eats, she is grumpy. But even as she's chewing, the smile comes on her face. But when she gets up, grump! Food is more important to us than we think. 3, fasting science. The body reproduces a majority of its cells every 6 months. What that means is that when you go home and look in the mirror, that physical person that's standing there will not be there in 6 months. The heart you have right now, and supposedly 99 days, all the cells in that heart will be gone and replaced by whole new cells. So when you look in the mirror, you didn't just get bigger, you were actually physically replaced by all new cells, just about every 6 months. Now, when those, let's keep reading, the quality of those cells is based on the quality of the food you eat. Where do they get the nutrients? Where do they get the proteins from? What you put in you? People say you are what you eat. Little do you know how true that is. Let's keep reading. During a fast, the good cells eat the bad cells, thus cleansing the body. When you stop eating protein, your cells that are looking for protein to grow will look for protein in your body, and they will start to eat the dying and sick cells in your body and get protein from those cells. Another definition of fasting is self-digestation, where you start to digest yourself. So one of the healing techniques is for cancer, from diseases, that people fast, so they eat, start eating whole foods, they start eating vegetables and fruits, so their body can heal itself. If you have a dog, you probably notice that when your dog gets sick, how do you know a dog is sick? They stop eating. What are they doing? That. They're fasting. They don't know, well, I got to fast now. God programmed them that when something happens, you will stop eating and your body that God created will heal itself. Your body is constantly fighting disease, constantly fighting, trying to heal itself and grow 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Your 6 trillion cells are doing this. So when you fast and stop eating protein, your body starts to clean itself out. Now, what you have to understand is that when you stop eating protein, as your body starts to detox, stuff is going to happen to you. Your breath is going to stink worse than it is now. It's going to start kicking like Jackie Chan, you know what I'm saying? Because all the junk is going to start coming out of your body. Your tongue may get white and pasty. Your body may smell. 1/3 of your toxins come out of your skin. So your body may smell worse than it does. You're going to have to constantly drink a lot of water so it comes out. Your urine, if you ever notice in the morning, your urine's dark. Because all night, your body's been cleansing itself. That's why it's dark. But during the day, it gets a little lighter because you start to urinate more frequently, so there's less toxins in it. You will notice that that'll be dark. And what will happen during your fast, it'll be less dark even when you wake up because your body's going to be purer. It's a very simple way to test. Matter of fact, another way to test is when you drink all day, if your urine's dark all the time, it probably means you're a little dehydrated. You're not flushing yourself out enough. Very simple test. And so you have to keep eating and drinking because your body's going to detox. Some of you are going to get headaches. That's part of it. Some of you are going to be funky. That's part of it. Some of you are going to get weak and tired because you're going to get detoxed. You may even get a little feverish or flu-like symptoms because your body's dumping all this stuff. Keep drinking. Keep going. Go out, go for a walk and exercise. You won't die. When I did my first fast, it was 40 days long, and it was just juices. And day 30 to day 40, I was on the road traveling around the country speaking in schools day and night. I lost 27 pounds, and I had a juicer, and I was exercising the whole time. Now, some of you may have medical issues. That's why we're going to start this slow. And you may have diabetes or whatever. Of course, you don't want to do anything that's going to hurt you. But if you have good health, you'll be fine. Fasting rules. Rule number one, acknowledge that your flesh cannot be trained. It must be crucified. What does that mean? Does that mean you cannot learn how to be holy on your own? God has to make you holy. Now, you do learn what it means, and you learn to submit yourself to Christ. But in the end, only God can purify your heart. Your flesh is evil and wicked. When you go home today, look in the mirror and say, you are a sinner. Because you are. I am. Evil and wicked, more than you know. Let me read some things to you. Galatians 5:24 says the flesh must be crucified. Galatians 5:17, the flesh fights against the spirit. Galatians 6:12, it seeks outward display. Romans 8:5, the flesh fights against God's law. Galatians 5:19, the flesh produces evil. Romans 7:5, the flesh brings about death. This is about crucifying our flesh and allowing God to live through us. Okay, so rule number one, your flesh must be crucified. So when you want to do something and you want to set your own rules and you want to do this your way, God, what do you want? Because I'm selfish. Just like when we fast, our flesh starts to eat itself. Same thing happens when we get in a tight situation. What do? We're like cannibals. We start attacking people. Start criticizing, pulling everybody down so we can feel good about ourselves. That's all sin. We all do it, but it's all sin. It's all wrong. Number two, keep away from negative people. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Don't, if for the next 3 weeks, if you got negative friends, just tell them you'll see them in 3 weeks. Don't want to hear negative. Don't want to hear negative. Some people are professional complainers, professional gossips. It is sin, and you know how they justify it? They think they know. You know, I went to the game yesterday, and I just hate sitting around fans because you just don't know what you're talking about. And I wanted to say to this guy behind me, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just wrong. And we so many times we think we know about our own life, we know about the people who in our family. We don't know. You don't. You don't even know yourself. You'll find out in the next 3 weeks. You'll find out how weak you are. Some of you are going to try to fast coffee. You won't make it to 5 o'clock. Three, establish a time and place. And by the way, if you don't make it to 5 o'clock, doesn't mean your fast is over. Keep trying. Establish a time and place to spend alone with God, bring a Bible and a pen and a paper. 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel was laying in bed. He was a little kid. He never heard God's voice that he knew. And he heard God call him 3 times. And each time he went to his mentor Eli and said, Eli, did you call me? And Eli said, no, no, no. He says, go back to your place. And when you hear that voice, say, speak, Lord, your servant listens. What does that mean? Does that mean Eli, his place might have been just his bed? But I would challenge you to establish a time and place where you're going to go with your Bible and pen, and it may be your bed, not with head on pillow. But say, every day I'm going to go to this place and this time, and I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to take my pen, and I'm going to put my pen on my paper, and God's going to speak to me. Every day. And it may be during a time when you used to go to Starbucks or when you used to eat lunch or dinner. If you're at work, don't go to where everyone goes outside and smokes a cigarette and has a sandwich. Go someplace by yourself in your car or someplace where no one is and just spend time with God. Simple. Very simple. Number four, slow down in speaking, reacting, and making decisions. When you fast, you're going to slow down anyway because you're going to get weak, hopefully. And you're going to, in your mind, think you're dying. So you're going to try to preserve energy so you can live in your mind. But you're not dying. You're actually being made well. Sometimes you got to go through a hard time before you get to the good time. But for the next 3 weeks, be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger, because there anger of man is not bringing about the righteousness of God. Just move slow. Don't talk over people. Don't be the first one to answer questions. Just chill. Let God go first. Try that. Okay? Five, never complain or brag about your fast and avoid talking about it. Other than your accountability partner, when you leave this room, don't talk about it. Matter of fact, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, 16. It says, moreover, when, everyone say when. When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Don't walk around going, oh, my church is going on a fast. Oh, we're so holy. Oh, we're the only church in San Diego. Oh. Don't do that. Verse 17. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Anoint your head means basically just, you know, shave, look presentable, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. There are some people in your life that are always blessed, and you don't know why. Because they don't appear to be living any different than you. What they're doing to be blessed in open is based on what they do when you're not there. And when you, if you spend time with God alone and you say, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm a cowboy up and I'm going to fast. And you spend time with God alone, you walk out your house, if you start losing weight, wear extra some clothes so you don't look like people look like you're sick or something. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Definitely don't brag about it. There's nothing to be bragging about. Because what you're doing is you're saying, Lord, I got issues. I want to get closer to you. Don't brag about it. Don't mention it. If people ask you, hey, you know, don't go out to dinner with people and sit there. Well, you know, I can't say, you know, if there's something private between me and God, we're going to need, you know. Don't do that. How do you solve that? Don't go out to eat. Remember, who's Lord? You don't need to go out. Okay, slow down. Don't brag about it. Next rule, establish an accountability partner for prayer and encouragement. Establish an accountability partner for prayer and encouragement. This is the person you talk with. This is the person you pray with. This is the person you encourage, or you maybe even if you're struggling, you get some encouragement. Okay? But other than that, keep it to yourself. Fasting goals. What changes in your life would you like to see take place spiritually? Give yourself one spiritual goal. One, maybe pray every day, read your Bible every day, pray for someone in your family every day with your family, wife, kids, whatever. Make one goal. And you can make a goal or through your fast pray for God to reveal something to you. But come out of this with one thing you're going to do different for the rest of your life. Number two, your diet. Change your diet. I asked last week about people who are exercising. I can't encourage you enough to exercise, but I can't also encourage you enough to eat right. When you go into a grocery store and you see all the aisles, most everything in those aisles is not really good for you. It's food, and you'll live a certain length of time, but it's not necessarily good for you. It's processed. It's got chemicals in it that are counterproductive to your health. Most of the good stuff is around the outside of the walls. Fruits, vegetables, some meats, chicken, and even that has stuff in it. I'm not trying to say all the stuff we eat is bad, but most of the stuff we eat is not, is detrimental to us. So what we have in our society is that we are, in a very mild way, poisoned, and then we are drugged for the poison. It's a big business. I'm not going to get into that, but that's from 30,000 feet, that's what's going on. God's saying, listen, what I made is adequate. What I made is adequate. If you eat the right foods and you take care of your body, you probably won't get sick as much. You won't need the medicines that you got from eating wrong food and living the wrong life. But what we do is we eat bad food, we don't exercise, we sit around and be lazy, and we just collect all these toxins in our body and we get sick. That's basically how it happens. What this is going to hopefully encourage you to do is realize, man, I feel better and I've eaten less and I have all that junk. It tastes good to the tongue, but it's no good for my body. I don't need it anymore. Now I am a more fit soldier for the kingdom. I'm thinking more clearly. I don't need as much sleep. I'm not getting these, you know, you eat food and then you have a sugar drop and all of a sudden you're like, after lunch. You ever eat food and you just like got to take a nap? That's what animals, you know, lions sleep like 20 hours a day. They eat this big meal and then they, and they sleep all day. You're not a lion. I got a Harley Davidson a year and a half ago, and they said, you cannot put anything but 91 octane in this motorcycle. Do not put any other gasoline, 87, 89, it'll mess with the engine. I've never put anything but 91 octane in my motorcycle. How much more should you not put junk in your body? Because your body will function better, trust me, and take this opportunity to find it out. And lastly, set a stewardship goal for your time, your talents, your resources. How does God want you to spend your time? How does God want you to spend your money? How does God want you to spend your talents, your intelligence, your education, your experience? How does God want you to use that? It is not for you. It's for him. Now, he may want you to use it where you work, but use it his way. Use it to honor and glorify him. And so ask God, God, here I am. I'm 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever years old. I have all these experiences, all these resources, all these contacts, all these dreams and aspirations, all these skills. What do you want me to do with it? Because if God was to speak to you, he would say this, I can do so much with that if you let me control it. That's what Lord of the Things is all about. God, I want to maximize my greatest fear, my personal greatest fear. It's not a fear, I don't live around, walk in fear. But my worst nightmare would be to die. And God said, you know what, if you would have let me use all I gave you, I could have done all this. But because you controlled it, this happened. You don't want to die. I mean, you don't want that to happen. You don't want to have regrets. Some of the greatest dreams and miracles and ideas are in graveyards. Right in a casket. They were buried with the people because they never lived it. They never stepped out. They never put themselves in a position to be all that they were created to be. You and I have no idea. I don't know if I mentioned this service, but there was a guy who was an ardent faster, and he died at 92. He was surfing a 20-foot wave at 92. Have you ever seen someone 92? And then if you did, what were they doing? They were walking like CP3 or whatever, that guy from Star Trek. They could just barely get by. This brother was surfing. You have no idea the potential of your physical body, your mind, your heart, what God wants to do through you. And for these next 3 weeks, I want to challenge you to let God be Lord of your things. Watch what he does in your life. Now, real quick, turn to that little recipe. Actually, we're not going to read it. I just want to make sure you got it. And let me very briefly explain to you how this is going to work. Okay, if you could look up here for a minute. Please don't read this because there's a lot of stuff on here. And I'm just going to take a few minutes and then you can read it later. This is on the website. How many people got this on email, by the way? We emailed it to a lot of people. Raise your hand real high. Okay. Week one starts today, is preparing your body for week two, which is when you go straight fruit and vegetables, juices. And then week three is you come off your fast. All this whole process is what we're going to call a fast. So this first week, here's what we would like you to do. Don't eat any junk. When you go in a grocery store, everything between the aisles, don't eat any of that stuff. Fruit, vegetables, good food, no soda, no coffee, no sweets, no fast food, no processed food, tobacco, and nothing. Fruit and vegetables, some nuts, and maybe some chicken. But you want to get all the junk out of your body. It's going to be a detox. Now you are ready for week two, where you're going to go straight juices. And if you can get organic, that's the best. And you make it yourself or somehow, or just eat fruits and vegetables. And you want to chew your food until it's liquid. That's anyway, period. You don't want to be swallowing chunks of food. And you're not like a crocodile, just like, just swallow it whole. Okay? You want to chew your food. And by the way, you know, when an owl swallows, they eat mice and rats. And when they swallow their food, they swallow it whole. And in their stomach, their stomach digest the meat and I don't know if the bones, but the meat, and then what comes up is a pellet of all the bones and the fur, and they spit it out. It does it all in the stomach. Isn't that amazing? I just thought you might want to know that. I thought that was fascinating. Week one, body preparation. Toxic relief, detox. We got the book in the back. There's plenty of books, blah, blah, blah. You can buy the book on the website if you want, on our website. Week two, juices. And then week three, as we come off, we're going to go back to what we did week one. But during that whole time, all the regular stuff you eat, don't eat. Don't eat. And you are going to see an amazing thing happen in your life. Let me encourage you in this as we close. Who is the Lord of your life? Let me encourage you, come every week for the next 3 weeks during this service. Don't skip a service. We're going to talk about all kinds of things on lordship. Get the tapes, CDs, get the book, and let God do an amazing thing in your life. Amen? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Here's a question I'm going to ask you. Don't respond to it yet. I'm going to ask you, how many of you are going to do something? You're all adults. Don't succumb to peer pressure. When you see the hands go up, because it's between you and God, we're challenging you, but not manipulating you. It's on you. It's telling you fact. If you do it, you'll be blessed. But that's just a fact. But for my own edification and for all y'all to see who's a part of this, how many of you are going to do something? Okay? Good. When we leave this room, no talking about it. Amen? Lord, we thank you. Lord, we pray for supernaturalness. Lord, as we look to secure an army in this church, we pray you would reveal to people their participation in the army called the Rock. As we approach getting our new building and all the resources we need, financial and subcontractors and wisdom and all the equipment we need for our PA system and furniture, we pray you would speak to people about that as we have to do that over the next year and a half. But Lord, I pray that it would start with every individual coming to grips with who is Lord and really being clear who is Lord in their life. I pray they would slow down, allow you to lead and not follow, allow you to go ahead of them, guide and direct them in their decisions. And Holy Spirit, we pray you would reveal truth to us. You are our teacher. You illuminate spiritual insight that our brain cannot comprehend. So we pray that you would do a supernatural work in our hearts and minds, that we would understand your word and our role on this planet more clearly than ever before. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go get the book and tape on prayer, and we're going to pray, sing a song. Amen.